This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma, and I've got two chapters from the Starseeds of Earth on this episode. When we last left Alibi Jones, he was heading back to the Hornet's Nest after trying and succeeding at moving asteroids with his mind. But it wasn't enough. And old colleague Brisby is now supposedly leading an invasion force which has just docked its stinger ship with the Hornet's Nest. We're going to catch up with Alibi Jones and the action in chapters 88 and 89 of The Starseeds of Earth, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio, the penultimate Starseeds of Earth episode. Next episode, we'll wrap up this novel. In news, what comes next? How about that? Well, find out next week. I'll announce next week what we're going to be doing after we wrap up the Starseeds of Earth on this podcast. I know what it is. It's all in the planning stages, so I hope you're going to enjoy it. Before we get into the chapter, I just wanted to talk about patrons a little bit. Patrons help keep Glow in the Dark Radio going. Podcast runs in part on your funding. A big thank you to all of my current patrons for your support. And if you are a patron, please check to be sure your payments are going through. I've had a couple drop-offs in the last month or two, which could just be what it is. At least one of those patrons has been very generous, so I don't want to question that, you know. But if it's an oversight, it could be an oversight, and I'd like you to know about that. Of course, that said, now would be a great time to become a patron and help support Glow in the Dark Radio if you can. I have three different levels. You can join for $2 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month. And you can do that through Patreon. That's a site that's set up to do this sort of things for independent creators, where they take your credit card and they disperse your donation each month to the people you want to support. So some people get on there and end up supporting a whole bunch of people. I support other people on there as a patron of theirs because I like their work and support their work. So that's how Patreon works. And you can support this podcast on Patreon by going to Patreon with an E, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, all one word. You can head over there if you want to just find out more, too, you know, about what patrons get, because you get extra stuff. Access to the timeline and the story web and things like that, too, that not everybody has. Again, that's patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And if you do decide to become a patron, I'd love to have you at whatever level makes sense for you, at $2, $5, or $10 a month. It'd be great to have your help keeping the podcast going. Now in its 16th year. Crazy. It all began in 2006, right about this time. First one launched in September 2006, so get starting to think about that. And that might tie into what we're doing. after the Star Seeds of Earth. I don't want to give anything away, but yeah. So again, if you can help support the podcast, I digress. If you can help support, I'd be very happy to have your help. You can go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio to get more details, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com, my pages, and click on the link for Patreon. We will get into chapters 88 and 89 of the Starseeds of Earth on this penultimate episode of the Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Next.
Hi, I'm Nukchas, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We're more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
Now here's chapter 88 of the Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi couldn't raise Emily on the comm the entire way back to the Hornet's Nest. He figured the Stinger was somehow jamming communication. The Greater Toss seemed big on force field tech, pushing stuff around. How apropos. Unfortunately for him, that meant Emily couldn't let him know which airlock to avoid, the one they were using for ingress. They'd have to wait for visuals. Let's hope their Stinger ship is only invisible to our instruments. And not in reality.
The larger ships are getting much closer, Kitten Cat observed. I calculate they will close distance within 3 standard hours.
Great news, Alibi said.
Aye, Cat. We studied force field technology at Academy, Kitten Cat said. It would be educational to take a look at their field generators and field regulators.
I bet it would, Alibi said.
I know Dr. Krishnavurti would find it intriguing as well, Kitten Cat said. Another force field for him to nullify.
The transpace nullifier made Alibi remember how Cat had sacrificed himself for Alibi. He did lose his body, even if he's kind of back now.
You are thinking of my, Cat's, disembodiment. Kitten Cat said, in an even tone. Since I mentioned the nullifier, you grew quiet.
I was, Alibi said.
Do not place blame for that upon yourself, Kitten Cat said. It was my, Cat's, own mistake that caused that to occur.
They paused.
Yes, entirely Cat's fault.
I could hear them change there, from Cat to Kit. Wild.
Thank you, Alibi said.
You did save my life. Alibi and Kitten Cat didn't have to worry about figuring out where the supposedly invisible Stinger ship had breached as they approached the Hornet's Nest. The safe Stinger may still have been cloaked to their detection instruments, but it was hanging out in plain visual sight, mounted like a swollen metallic pustule on the poor airlock it had blown through on the starboard side, near the landing bays. The visuals impacted Alibi with a sick sense of being just plain wrong. The Solar Alliance is invading my home.
Fucking Brisby! Alibi shouted into shattering silence. Neither of we did not care for Lieutenant Brisby, Kitten Cat said. He did not seem to have much use for Dakur.
I didn't have much use for Mr. Brisby, Alibi said. I can't believe he'd come back like this. I mean, I can because he is, but man, what balls.
Perhaps he is merely being used, Kitten Cat said. Utilized, like a tool.
Oh, he's a tool, all right, Alibi said. He wasn't my favorite person in the universe, but I didn't expect him to betray us all. We might have to kill him. They both grew quiet.
If we must, we must, Kitten Cat said. He has chosen the wrong side.
I guess, Alibi said. He changed the subject. Any luck getting through their shield?
No, Kitten Cat said. We still can't talk to anyone inside.
Let's not risk the landing bays, Alibi said. We'll use an airlock, too. Kitten Cat agreed. Alibi piloted them around the hornet's nest, and they lined up their ship with an airlock opposite the one the enemy had used for ingress. Kitten Cat brought them in.
We are connected,
Kitten Cat said, as Alibi felt the deck shudder.
Sorry, a bit rough coming in.
No worries, Alibi said. Extend the cowl, too, and create another seal around the lock, Alibi said, just in case.
Extending the cowl, Kitten Cat said, confirming the action. Do you think it will be necessary?
We don't know who'll be on the other side of the airlock when we open it, Alibi said. If they start shooting, let's be ready. I'd rather avoid explosive decompression if we can. Alibi and Kitten Cat headed for the connecting airlock. Alibi checked the blaster in his right hand, set for stun with half a pack's charge left. He wasn't sure whether it was a worry for numbers or some kind of compassion that led him to use stun. But he let it make him feel better about himself anyway. Why not? On stun, that amount of charge would let him take out about 100 people. If he set it for kill, about half that many. So stun it was. I'd rather not be a killer. But this is my home, and they're invading it. I will protect my home. The corridor they cautiously stepped out into was empty. Alibi gestured for Kitten Cat to follow, and headed for the juncture down the hall to the left. Alibi snuck a look around the corner. Clear. He took the opportunity to try his calm. Maybe they'll work inside. Emily, do you read? It's Alibi. Alibi, Emily answered. Alibi heard blaster fire in the background. Where are you? Don't want to say, Alibi said. You know? Point taken, she said. What's your situation? We're holding off a small party, she said. I count three. Figure they're advanced scouts, so we'll no doubt see a lot more of them soon. Could use some backup. Gotcha, Alibi said. Let me see what I can do. Chapter 89. Brisby sighed. He looked over at the two safe troopers Drummond left with him in the administrative offices. He was pretty sure they were more there to keep Brisby from following Drummond and his men than they were to take any orders Brisby gave them. Corporal Bouchot caught his eye, nodded at him. Brisby gave a curt nod back, then pretended to study the mission package on the desk in front of him. Brisby wasn't really in charge. He'd discovered that ugly truth on their way to the Hornet's Nest. He might be the mission commander and outrank Drummond, but it was Lieutenant Drummond who was truly in command of the incursion. They'd used Brisby to try to get inside the Hornet's Nest without a fight. Once it turned out there would be resistance from Alibi's people, his usefulness ended. Drummond had started barking orders, orders Brisby hadn't been given or known about. Brisby laughed. The joke was on him. Damn it! All he'd ever wanted was to do the right thing.
Commander Brisby, ha, Brisby said to himself.
What was that, sir? Corporal Bouchot said.
Nothing, Bouchot, Brisby said. Just checking on Drummond's fire team.
Yes, sir, the corporal said. It looked to Brisby like the woman was barely holding back a smirk. He was pretty sure she was in with Drummond. She certainly knew Brisby was being sidelined now, since she was here with him, while Drummond and the rest were gone on the attack.
Anything yet, sir? Marjapal asked.
He didn't think Private Marjapal was in with Drummond.
The other safe trooper was young and green enough they likely figured he'd follow Busho's lead.
Not yet, Brisby said.
This used to be the control center? Marshapal asked. Sir?
Brisby noticed the sir came slowly, an afterthought. Whatever Marshapal knew, Brisby knew he couldn't count on the man to follow him after that.
But follow him in what? Brisby wasn't sure what he should do. Coming back to the Hornet's Nest felt like... what?
Coming back to a home away from home, anyway.
He'd spent a lot of time in this room when it was the base's control center. He'd been part of Alibi Jones's crew. What was the right thing to do now? Maybe Drummond had been wise to leave him under guard.
Yep, Brisby said. They've made some changes since I was here last. This was Alibi Jones's desk. He slapped the top, and Busho jumped. She must have been zoning out. I knew we'd taken it too easily.
Yes, sir, Marshapal said. Brisby Keed opened his comm. He decided he wasn't going to just let Drummond take this mission from him. Screw that.
Drummond, report!
He barked.
What?
Drummond said over the comm. I mean, what was that, sir?
I said report, Brisby said. What's your sit rep?
We're moving in toward the new command center, Drummond said.
Sir.
Any resistance?
Brisby said.
Not so far, sir, Drummond said. Though we saw a lot of civilians out and about on our way in, they all seem to have scattered. Place now looks like it's deserted. My scouts are reporting returning some fire from the command center, one down but just stunned.
Good, Brisby said. Let me know when you're in position.
Yeah, yes, sir, Drummond said. Drummond out.
Brisby smiled. Maybe he wasn't in charge anymore, but he could act like he was, and be a pain in Drummond's ass. Drummond probably assumed Brisby was too dumb to figure out he'd been superseded. Let him. Brisby sat down in the chair at Alibi's old desk. Where was Alibi Jones? Brisby had only spoken with Emily Brown, who sounded kind of strange when it came right down to it. Then again, these were strange circumstances. He got that. Maybe Alibi was still off chasing after starseeds. Or maybe that was him and that other ship, pushing asteroids out of the way of the now mobile nest with some new force field they couldn't detect. That was driving the Greater Ta nuts. They were all about their force fields. He heard they were working on some kind of sweeper force field of their own now. Weird, though. Brisby hadn't seen any sign of Alibi Jones.
That was Chapter 89 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. And we heard Chapter 88 as well. Brisby is and always has been kind of a tool. Maybe not as dumb as he seems, but still. Alibi is back on board, and the battle for the Hornet's Nest is underway. Heading for the climactic showdowns in the Starseeds of Earth. So be sure to come back for Chapter 90 and 91 and the epilogue. We will wrap up this novel on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. And I will tell you next week, I will announce next week, what we are doing on the episode after to follow up. I ain't stopping now. I'm about to celebrate my 16th birthday. Not mine, the podcast, but you know what I mean. As I was mentioning before the chapters, if you would like to become a patron and help support this podcast, please go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com and click where it says find out more about Patreon, becoming a patron. And a big thank you to my patrons for your support of Glow in the Dark Radio. You can do that for $2, $5, or $10 a month. It's completely voluntary. I don't charge for the podcast, but if you want to help support it, that's certainly welcome.
Let me say that. I am your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. And thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation, copyright 2022 by Michael F. Luoma, and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.